Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I've been an SFB online, Fed Come Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just my now, it's always how we podcast every Thursday, starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can get a call on the phone to dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And you can contact me for any reason. My email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. sfuoncall@gmail.com. And if you want to follow me on the Twitters, /X/ whatever it's called this week, my podcasting account is sfuoncall. Also, my personal account is Paul France, PaulFranz. Note, there's no T in that. And also, there is the business account, which is France Games, FranzGames. And again, no T in there. And this lovely talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes, various other feeds, and around the net. This week, not much has been happening. Steve Petrick is still, we're still waiting for him to come back. Just a reminder, of course, Shapeways ceased operations, but ADB is working on another solution when it comes to providing 3D printed miniatures. Obviously, they still have the metal miniatures that they've sold before. They still have those in stock. So, I would, if you want to go over to this to their store, their online store, you can reach it's called starfleetstore.com. That's a quick way to get there. They have miniatures there. And this week found on online store is the Klingons PD-20. It's $24.95. Everything you ever wanted to know about the Empire of Steel government and how the Empire selected. While there are always three princes, why the Empress is not always the wife of the Emperor, but sometimes his daughter or sister. The military nobility, military academies, the difference between warriors and civilians, the warrior colonies, the military ranks and promotions, military awards and decorations, the knights, paladins, the emperor's personal inspectors and auditors, Klingon religion. You thought that 30 billion Klingons all went to the same church? The intelligence service that spent most of their time spying on each other, and data on dozens of Klingon ships, and much, much more. Moving onward and forward to the SFB Online Tournament, the Sapphire Star 17 Tournament. We've got all 16 signups. Problem is, we're waiting for Steve Petrick to get back to work so that we can get a tree set. I was gone last week, so I really didn't pay attention much to the discussion board. So I will email Gene to see if there's anything we can do to hear that up. You know, what's the prognosis when it comes to Steve Petrick coming back, when he's coming back? You know, do we have a time frame? You know, because I know a lot of people are interested in getting going on the tournament. And of course, going to the library, there's no change in the SFB Online library. Big surprise. I've been very busy and very gone. And also, no updates for the FedCom library. Though it looks like there are some emails I had to get to, because I'm assuming some of those are actual updates, and I will look into those ASAP. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, this is one of the Paul Friends welcoming you to the Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight we have Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And we have nobody else. Just me and Doug tonight, which is fine. We have actually a different topic for this evening. Oops. And forgive me. I just realized that I am sharing my screen, which is not what I should be doing at this moment in time. That's not the way I should have started it. Oh, well, these things happen. But anyway. Yeah, tonight what we're going to be doing is I was actually going through some old, at this point they're pretty old, Captain's logs. And I noticed one thing is, of course, with is they have a section called venues. And part of the venues is you have like Federation Commander, you got F&E, but also you have Starfleet Battle Force. And in these captain's logs, they have basically playtest cards that could be added to Starfleet Battle Force. Now, originally, the whole idea of Starfleet Battle Force when it comes to cards themselves was that you're going to have the one deck, and then you'll be able to buy, more decks, but it's not going to be like Magic the Gathering, where it's a deck building game, and therefore to stay up with your friend, you have to buy another deck because he buys a new deck, you have to buy the new deck, that kind of thing. That's not what Steve Cole wanted. Steve Cole wanted a game that you could buy, it was complete, and you wouldn't have to buy any more. But if you wanted to, you could actually expand it with some additional decks. Well, obviously that didn't happen. I'm not sure why at the moment. My guess is that the Starfleet Battle Force wasn't popular enough because also it came out during the time of Magic the Gathering, and those collectible card games were all the rage. And Lord knows there's many game stores who lost their shirt and closed because of those collectible card games and the sellers saying, "Oh, this is the next Magic the Gathering," because at some point Magic the Gathering it's gonna fall off the face of the earth. This is gonna be the new thing, and no, Pixel Target. Yes, I got it. I got to work on that. That is definitely a major issue, and I will work on it this weekend. I actually have time this weekend since my wife is heading out of town. I should have a little more time, hopefully. We'll have to wait and see. But definitely, I should have time. And I know it's critical, and I agree that that's a bad bug. I'm not gonna report it here. Big Slow Target knows, and I know. And hopefully I'll get working on Saturday, get that fixed up, and then work on spend the 4 hours, because it takes me like 4 hours to distribute the updates, because I have to go. It takes me three different computers, well, actually two computers. One of the quote-unquote computers is a VM at the moment. Though I did do one thing, which is I did go and purchase an actual PC computer. And basically, on the promise that came, my daughter, she can actually go and play that. Use it for playing games, but also I can use it when I need it. So when I need to build a new installer for SFB Online, for the SFU Online client, because you actually need a running Windows system to do that. Also, one of the things I will need to do for that is I want it also for testing to actually install the client. Make sure it works. I'm not sure if the one thing I definitely need to keep an eye on, which is it seems like invariably what happens is that Microsoft says, "Oh, your website it's just so small, so many there aren't that many people that actually visit your website." There might be what if I'm lucky 100 hits a day. That kind of small. So they think that I might be a malicious website, even though
No.
it's a website that the domain has existed and has not changed hands. And they should be able to check the records for that just because, oh, I'm pretty sure that there is a a website or somebody who actually keeps a track of the DNS, you know, when it comes to registrars and who owns what and so forth. Though these days, the problem is a lot of those are private. You know, when it comes to, if you look at the public records, it's private, so they don't know who owns them. But anyway, the domain has existed forever, you know, for a long, long time. Let me see if I can. Huh. Oh, I know. Who is? Look. Don't mind me. It was created in 1985, January 1st of 1985. So the domain has existed for almost, oh my. Oy. I'm sorry. I just realized it. That can't be right. That can't be right. I think that's VeriSign. I'm pretty sure. Da, da, da. Da, da, da. SAP online. Da, da, da. Oh, there it is. Creation date. That's better. I was wondering if it can't be that old. Here it is. Creation date of SFB Online record is 1999, March 5th. So, still this. SFB Online has been in existence for 25 years. At least the website. I'm not sure when the service started, but still, it's been 25 years. And it's been existing for 25 years, and it's paid for. You know, it's not the only weird registrars either. You know, I'm currently using hover.com as my registrar. Yeah, and currently that record is pointing to, the name servers are pointing to DigitalOcean. Big surprise, because that's where my SFB Online website is. It's over at DigitalOcean. But anyway, so yeah, the website has existed for the past 25 years. And I'm sorry, you know we don't trust you, even though you've been around for 25 years.
Oh, hell no. Why should they do that?
I know.
Yeah, you're just not getting the clicks they want.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah, because I think anything that's downloaded from it might be malicious. Because of, it doesn't. And then the thing is,
because of low traffic.
Low traffic, yeah. And the funny
thing. Yeah. So basically, they favor the high traffic malicious bug people.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
And here's the funny part from my understanding.
Okay.
And that is, I follow this guy. I listened to this podcast called Security Now. And this one guy, Steve Gibson, he actually, he does everything right. He signs his application. He does everything. And still, with all the money and all the effort he puts forward, to have it so it's signed properly, it's actually an extended validation certificate. None of that stuff means anything anymore. If it's signed or unsigned, it doesn't matter anymore. Microsoft, it seems like when it comes to Microsoft, all they care about at this point is reputation. How many people are using that piece of software? How many times has it been reported malicious? Or not malicious, So, crazy. Anyhow, getting back to what the topic is for tonight, which is what we're going to do is we're going to go through, this in this case, like six different captain's logs. And we're going to go over the Starfleet Battle Force cards for the six captain's logs. Now, obviously, There are a lot more cabinets logged than six. There are, and I might, heck, I might do this again next week, but that also means that I might have to get some more captain's logs. Because I just bought three more new ones just today, so I actually could get the cards, so I could show it to people. And I'm not sure, Russ. Heck, for I know, Russ might actually have all the captain's logs either scanned in or already bought the electronic versions and could send me all the properly Battle Force cards, which would be fine as it is. I truly do want to replace all of my physical copies of my captain's logs, because I actually gave them away. And
mm-hmm.
want to replace those with, you know, electronic versions. So I still have the logs, but it doesn't take nearly as much space. I saw this one crate of SFB stuff sitting right here, and I'm always debating whether I want to get rid of the stuff or not, because I'm trying to do my best to cut back on all the stuff that's in the house. I already did the great purge many years ago, and I'm just thinking,
to bring it to gamers.
Yeah, I'm sure I can bring it to
gamers. I'm sure we could get rid of it for you there.
Oh, I'm sure you would. And well, that's why I got to look at it to see, do I want to get rid of the stuff or not?
Well, the thing is, Paul, you know, if it goes to the right place, you'll be able to visit it. Should you have any regrets about it?
Or like DH, you know, that person that might be interested?
You never know. Possibly.
Dude, you got enough problems with your wife collecting stuff.
Don't remind me.
I was like, can you tell me that I am wrong?
Well, here's the thing. No.
Exactly. Okay.
But on the other hand, you would know exactly where it's at if it's in my hands.
That is true.
If it's in her hands, it could be anywhere. If it's in my hands, it's on that shelf right over there, and mm-hmm. you can see it.
Yes.
And pull it off and use it and put it back.
Yes. So true. Yeah, that is true. And I actually know where it is. I know that we could find it if we needed it. Okay.
As long as I've unboxed the thing, I know where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go.
Cool. So what we're going to start with is actually just because it's the closest one that I have up, which is Captain's Log number 41. And here's some of the new cards that were brought up. Here's some new ideas. He said on the BBS for new action cards. In this case, you have the Repair Depot. Remove a damaged ship from the game. It says here, play this card on one of your ships, which has major damage at the end of the opponent's turn. Of any opponent's turn. The ship is removed from play permanently, but does not count as it's destroyed for any enemy ship. This card allows you to keep a crippled ship from scoring points for the next opponent. Lucky opponent around the table. You might even allow any player to play this at the end of any player's turn on any ship on the board with more than 50% damage.
Now, earlier you mentioned, did you say something to the effect of you weren't sure why this didn't catch on? You're in the Magic the Gathering area
No, I can understand why it didn't get caught because of Magic the Gathering. It wasn't another version of that. This is
I think the reason it may not have caught on as much is because of how different it is to the core game.
Mm-hmm. It's
extremely different. And it's not the same kind of mechanics that people are used to with the SFB universe, so to speak. It's like it's kind of like an apples and oranges thing, and if you like the apples, you're really not necessarily going to bite into the orange.
Understood. At the same time, this was not, I don't feel like, I'd have to ask you Cole about this, but I might send him an email just to find out his thoughts on it. Which is, I feel like the reason why it wasn't one, it was based off another card game called Fleets, which was, you know, in the case of Fleets, the cards were actual, you know, ships, you know, as in like an Iowa battleship, you know, one of these heavy cruisers that, you know, that we have floating in our oceans, those kind of ships, mm-hmm. you know, the ones that fought in World War II or even later. And there was a card game that basically played similarly to that, I mean, it's like similar to Starfleet Battle Force, but called Fleets, and that's what my understanding. That's what it was based off of, and my guess is that Steve Cole didn't want it to be another SFB. The idea was to possibly bring some people who are not really tactical board game players into the fold to be interested in games that ADB sells, which are based off Star Trek, basically.
Right. But the thing is, his core audience is board gamers. Yeah. Is hardcore war gamers. Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I'm pretty sure I've shown it before, which is the cards that make up this deck, I mean, they live up to today's standards. They're pretty old at this point, but they're beautiful, beautiful cards, you know, that they have for this game. And I really think they withstand the test of time when it comes to how beautiful they are. And, you know, and even with them being so gorgeous and beautiful, people weren't buying them. So, you know, and I said, I think it definitely came out during Magic the Gathering, and those were, if anything, if it wasn't Magic the Gathering, people weren't interested. You know, and again, and, you know, and then there was the other people, which is the board game people, and that's definitely, this wasn't attracted to them. So it's a very,
that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't click with this core audience.
It doesn't click with the other major audience at the time. That's what I'm saying, is that it didn't have much of an audience to start with.
Well, the people that were into like the Magic the Gathering thing look at this and it's a radically different thing.
Right. Oh. So. Understood. Yeah, this is not Magic the Gathering. As I said, it's based on a game called Fleets. Anyhow. Moving onward and forward. The next card is actually Ship Separation. If you play this card on one of your Klingon or Neo-Tholian ships, which was just destroyed, you still lose the ship, but the enemy gets no points for it. The ship can also be used on Federation ships with rear hulls, you know, battleships, destroyers, battle cruisers, and so forth. And this shows the card here. Make sure that you guys can see it. Idea is that you deprive your enemy of the points for destroying that ship. I have the card here, but they have a description of it, which is experimental weapon. You have been experimenting with putting foreign weapons on your ship. Put the card on any ship that allows that ship, and that allows that ship to fire any weapon card, including cards that affect such as overloads, envelopers, etc., even if the printed card does not have that weapon. Discard the card after one use. So, which is kind of a cool idea, because basically it makes it so that any ship can kind of be like an Orion for one time, Because, with Orion ships, they actually have the weapon boxes, which can fire any weapon that's is available, which is always the issue with how the action deck works, because of you have to match that card with the weapons on your ship. So that's part of the limits, when it comes to limited resource. What the word I'm thinking of. But anyway, moving onward. Of course, yeah, the phaser refit, you play this card, and all the phaser twos on a ship, automatically they become, well, no, they become phaser ones. The card remains with the ship until it's destroyed. The ship is not worth extra victory if destroyed. If the ship has no phaser twos, this adds a phaser three. So, but obviously, big surprise, they show what? A Klingon for a phaser refit, for this kind of a phaser refit, because Klingons are the only ones that actually had phaser twos. Now, actually, that would be interesting because, yeah, that's one thing, that there is no Andromedan cards. Next one is a carry conversion, which is to play this card on one of your ships, and any Photon Disruptor or Plasma becomes fighter boxes. The card remains with the ship until it's destroyed. The ship it has not, okay, it's not actually not worth extra victory points. The ship would also affect Fusion Beam Teleporters and PBDs if the playtest cards for other, if using those playtests for other empires. So basically, as it says there, creates a carrier version where you take all the weapons and now you replace them with fighters. So you can use them even more often. And then we have, and this is an interesting one, which is add a weapon. Play this card and add one on one of your ships. And that's one weapon, either a drone rack for like the Fed Zinni, Orion, or Klingon, or a Plasma F for Gorn, Rom, or ISC, or a Phaser 1 for any other ship. And the card remains with the ship until it's destroyed. And of course, again, it's not worth any victory points. So, that's kind of an interesting one in that, it gives you more weapons for that ship, and therefore you can actually, given if you have the cards, of course, you can actually do more damage against the ship that you're firing against. Really? Sorry, my one cat keeps on chewing on things. In this case, he's decided to chew on the backpack. Anyhow. Don't mind me. There it is. Actually, I wanted to start with this one. Caps Lock number 33. It's actually really simple one. Standard playtest stuff, which is basically the wind cluster. These are a couple ones, and just like other black sharks, when it comes to the wind one, in this case, it says war cruiser, war destroyer, there are weapons boxes. Now, let me look at this. I'm one of the bets. In this case, the option mount can only be used to fire phaser cards or drone cards. And I say we can take the compiled ships and special cards for eventual expansion. Because you have, of course, the winds. As mentioned previously, the also ISC is one of those additional expansions that they wanted to do. I forget when this. In this caps lock number 33. I thought in my head I copyright the year. But nope. Okay. Caps lock number 35. This one actually I thought was kind of interesting, which is monsters. as mentioned here, plans continue for the idea of four SMB expansion, each with 32 new cards. One card for each expansion would portray a monster. Monster cards would all work more or less the same. Players who draw a monster card can play on his turn. The monster is placed in the center of the table, and various players, there are different rules, get to shoot at the monster. If the monster isn't killed, the monster will pretty much trash somebody's starship, sometimes at random, sometimes one ship per player. After the monster is played, all cards, including reserves, are reshuffled and a new hand is dealt. New hands are dealt. These were the first previously published, okay, first monsters that were, and next, these were previously published in Compass number 24. The other three have not been selected, which is cool. They got the Juggernaut, which is interesting that they have the Juggernaut as a monster, which in theory, given later, after Capsule number 35, that the Juggernaut actually became kind of an empire by itself, even though it was a kind of, it was a dead empire. Is what it is. The ship still existed. You got different kinds of ships from a dreadnought to a battleship to a cruiser to a frigate to a destroyer. Obviously, it could not be played as an empire in a game at this moment in time. That'd be especially just given that it wasn't designed as such to begin with. But anyway, the Juggernaut was played in the middle table as described previously. The Juggernaut has an extra. Everyone knows what the Juggernaut is. It's an extragalactic robot death machine looking for a fight. Each player rolls one die, counting from the left side of his front line, sends a designated ship to as a champion to fight the Juggernaut. If you roll three, you send the third ship from the left. So when you have the front line, then you have to count from the left which ship that you selected to basically fight the Juggernaut. Thank you. The die roll exceeds the number of ships, you simply just count over again. As the champions are selected, each player selects one or more cards that this ship can use and places these face down by ship. If a player has no card that his designated ship can use, he must. You still want to send one card. When all cards are placed, turn them over. Have each ship use the card to quote-unquote attack the Juggernaut, scoring points of damage. If the Juggernaut is destroyed, the ships return to their original positions. If the Juggernaut is not destroyed, all selected ships are destroyed instead, and the Juggernaut goes away. So, it's either kill it or be killed. This actually looks like a nice one, which is those on the video you can see kind of a nice little dominator. Of course, again, you place in the middle of the table. The dominator will attack everyone if not destroyed. Each player, starting after the player who played it, conducts one attack using whatever cards he has without drawing new ones. All attacks are played face down and revealed together. So you won't know if you're wasting your fire on an overkilled monster. Cool. Half the damage is canceled by the power absorbers. If the Dominator is destroyed, players reshuffle action cards, including the reserved ones, and deal each player five new ones. Play proceeds. Then the player actually played the card. If the Andromedan is not destroyed, the Andromedan launches an attack of 10 damage points against one ship of each player selected by die roll and repairs one damage point. The Andromedan then remains in the center of the card, center of the table. Each player during his normal turn after drawing cards may use his one allowed attack to fire at the Dominator or at another player. No matter which is close, he chooses, the The Dominator, if not destroyed, will then fire at each at one of the current player's ships, selected by die roll, with 10 points of damage. It will then repair one damage point. When the Dominator is eventually destroyed, it's simply placed in the discard pile, do not reshuffle or redeal. So, to say the very least, I think that's a pretty nasty one. Where if you don't kill it, it stays until you do kill it. And it will keep on attacking you. And this is not... the reason why I first read the beginning of rules, I thought it was going to be like every turn, okay, we stop and we redo what the first turn did. No. After that initial round, then you go to the next player who had just been attacked and went, okay, now it's your turn. Now you got a choice. You either can fire on the Dominator more and try to kill it before it gives you 10 points of damage, or you can just beat up another player that's playing at the time. So nasty. I think that's an interesting card, just because of the way the interaction works. Don't mind me, my blinker phone tipped over. So you might have heard that a little bit on the recording, so I apologize. Okay, and the last but not least is the Mind Monsters. Mind Monster. Place center table again. Each player selects one of his ships to confront the monster. Each player rolls 2d6. And if the result is smaller than the number of victory points of the ship he sent, he has driven the monster away. Any player who fails to drive the Mind Monster loses the selected ship. Although the ship is not destroyed, it is sent to its reserve and must be returned to the battle force by designated players. After this, all players discard all of the cards in their hand and pass any reserve action card and pass any reserve action cards they have squirreled away to the player to their left. And the deck is shuffled, including the Mind Monster card. New hands are dealt, and play resumes with the player who played the Mind Monster. So, that's okay. Okay. Here's some of the nicer. It looks like this one. This one I like. It's called Black Fleet. And in the Black Fleet card, what happens is that you play this card during your turn after you lose your last ship. So basically, you've been knocked out of the game. But, okay. What happens is you just pull from the pile of cards that you have destroyed. So the ones that you've destroyed, not the ones that you've destroyed that in your pile of destroyed ships. Then you pull out all the Klingon ships. And that is considered your new fleet. Of course, those cards will no longer count as points you scored for your victory, and you must use all, not just some, but all of the Klingon ships in your victory pile. Here's the graphic that Xander Fulton created. I thought that's a neat one. Basically, return from the dead. You got the black. The Klingon Black Fleet.
That is a nice graphic, yeah.
Yeah, and I like the idea too. When somebody thinks you're knocked out, you still have an action card that goes, boom, Return of the Black Fleet, and then you all of a sudden you now have a fleet. Hopefully you do. The only time you won't have a fleet is if you don't, if you're not have destroyed, or there's no Klingon cards in your victory pile.
I strike at you from the grave. Blah blah blah. Yeah.
No, actually, this is nice. The Aegis Fire Control, which basically improves defensive system. So effective that any phaser which is used defensively against the fighters, drones, or plasma torpedoes has a double effect. Two phaser three cards would shoot down a 4-point drone card. Which again, Xander Fulton, has this created the graphic. Which again, it's a nice one. Not as beautiful. I agree. It's not as beautiful as the ones that are in the deck, but still nice. Expert. Okay. Expert ops. Here it is. This officer is so good at playing attacks that when it's your turn, if you play this card, you get to make two complete attacks using two different ships. The officer can even use this card. Use cards from your reserve fleet in those attacks, which is, again, I think that's a cool one. Where basically you, instead of only being able to attack using one ship against one ship, now you got two ships that can fight against two ships. Now, I would think the difficulty about that is going to be your deck. You might run out of other cards. But though at the same time, the benefit to this, of course, is if you have fleets from different empires and weapons cards from different empires too. So you can't have it so that you use like one big attack using the weapon cards in your hand. It's when you have to split it, then actually you can do two attacks, which is wonderful. For later on, because obviously you might not be able to destroy. You might be able to destroy two ships. You might not. It all depends on how much damage is already on the ship. Next one is tribbles. Yay! Everyone loves tribbles. Yeah. Play this card during the regular turn in addition to your regular attack. Oh, against the same or different opponent. Enforce one Klingon ship in the opponent's fleet out of the battle. That ship is pulled back into the reserve squadron and cannot be used in that player's next turn or attacked by any other player while it's in reserve. While it's in the reserve squadron, the targeted player may, but doesn't have to, return the ship to the main or body screen at the end of the next turn. This card could be used on a friend to get his badly damaged ship out of the danger zone before it's destroyed. And this was actually submitted by Jane Sexton. The art was by Adam Turner, and I've actually seen this art before. And I agree. I think that's a neat card, as was pointed out. It can be used both kind of offensively and defensively. For example, if you want to have it so one of your opponent's ships, like, let's say, a B-10, one of the large ones, you want to have it so that, it might not be able to attack because it has to be part of the screen to do that, so... Okay, I think that's the case. I have to double check in the rules, and I apologize if I'm wrong. The next one, of course, Extra Talisman. Played during your turn, this card allows you to make a second formation change without costing you a normal attack. Okay, that's interesting. I forgot what the limitations are, formation change.
Yeah, okay, Paul.
Yeah, I dropped the mic. It fell again. I assume you can still hear me?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I can now.
Okay, cool. Okay, let's go on to cabin slug number 43. And this one has some really nice cards. When it comes, they look very pretty. We start with a deep attack. Big surprise. I mean, what it allows you to do with this card, you can have one of your ships slip behind enemy lines and attack an enemy ship that's part of the main body as if or it were in the screen. You can use short range weapons and other short range attacks. Several players suggested a similar card, and none of them exactly like this. Pretty nice. Oh, cool. This one. Cloak Decoy. Played after an attack damages or could destroy a cloaked ship. So if the ship is cloaked, this card negates all damage to that cloaked ship and the attack cards are discarded and moves the ship to the reserve squadron. Several players suggest this card, and none of them exactly like this one, but anyway. But I think that's a cool idea. So, obviously the thing is when you attack a cloaked ship, it's reduced when it comes to the amount of damage you can do to it. But now if you attack it, it might not actually be a ship. It might be a cloaked decoy, in which case, all this forces you to move your ship to the reserve squadron. Police Crackdown. Play this ship in front of you instead of an attack or a formation change. Remove the card at the start of your next turn. As long as the police crackdown is enforced, no Orion pirates can attack or be attacked because they are all in hiding. If they're exactly.
Yeah.
If the only ship in a screen are Orion pirates, then the pirate does not have a screen for that turn. Ooh. And if a player has only Orion pirate ships, then he has, in fact, no ships for that turn. Although there are some cards that can be played even then, such as planetary fighters. Several players suggest this card, blah, blah, blah. Which is cool. So again, it's another one of those cards which can be used offensively and defensively. Offensively, to have it so that those beautiful Orion pirate ships, which are great when it comes to weapons, because of they can use almost every single weapon in the deck. Now you can't use those weapons, so you can't attack with those ships. And but of course also it can, in my mind, it can also be used defensively to protect any Orion ships that you have. So, they cannot be attacked. So again, they can be used offensively and defensively. And I kind of like that about that card. Legendary XO, play this card when it's time to draw new cards. You can then sort through the discard pile and take whatever card you want.
Oh, you're getting some kind of breakup
Oh,
on
boy.
your voice.
Give me a sec. How's that?
No, it's Paul.
So bad?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
I can hear you on Discord, but you crashed on there's a network error. Please try again. Error number 2000. Look here to reload player.
For Twitch.
Now I see you.
Okay.
It's a Twitch issue.
Looks like it's Okay, cool. So it's just a Twitch issue. Makes me more less concerned because, as I told you,
No, it's totally you, Paul. Don't worry about it. Yeah, no, it's Twitch.
Well, I'm concerned that it's my microphone. Because I already told you, the cat's knocked it over once. I'm
No,
afraid.
you've had that kind of a thing before.
You mean the
The
glitching on
noise.
Twitch? Okay.
It just kind of glitched out for a moment,
Okay.
and then Twitch crashed, and then came back.
Okay.
So.
Onward and forward. And you could draw, place cards, but you discarded this card after picking up the new cards, which actually that's a good one. Because you get to select what you want out of the discard pile. Suicide Shuttle can be launched by any ship, only works short range, so it has to be part of the screen and attacking the screen. Does 12 points of damage if not shot down by 6 points of damage. So basically, it's like a drone attack. Kind of like a drone attack, yeah. Updates. In a two-player game where each player gets two attacks, the expert operation offer adds a third one. The Hydran Dreadnought is a hybrid. It cannot be escorted like it. Huh, that's interesting. It's a weird one. Okay. And there's something else which is not about that. It's about something completely and totally different. Okay. I did. Oh, here it is. This is just one which I grabbed it. I did. The thing is, I grabbed the captain's logs. I don't know what actually is part of the Starfleet Battle Force. I'm sure someone can tell me that. Oh yeah, just look up, go to this, go to the at starfleetgames.com, go to the Master Index, go and you can go to like the Starfleet Battle Force. It will actually show you what cards are available and what captain's logs. I'm sure there's something like that. That wouldn't surprise me. In which case, forgive me for being dumb. But basically, it's showing the for those, oh yeah, basically, it's from the module E3. This is the Borak. It's showing the six cards from it. Got a Dreadnought, a heavy cruiser, battle cruiser, carrier, destroyer, and frigate, which are now the one thing is mentions here is that the Phaser C's icons can fire any Phaser 1 cards, but each icon can alternatively fire two, one or two phaser twos or phaser threes, so or phaser two and a phaser three at the same target. So basically, the phaser sees you actually can fire multiple phasers from the one mount, which is cool. Now the phaser M, the mega phasers, where is it? There they are. They're the mega M's phaser can use any phaser card, but these unique weapons can also use the overload card to double the output of any phaser card. I like that just because of the cool thing about that is that you still have this, you're not adding any weapons cards. Same amount of weapons cards, you're just adding ships, which to me is always the great thing because of you're still maintaining the balance that's in the original deck when it comes to weapons versus actions. It mentions here that the Brack fighters are particularly savage and are known for their suicide attack maneuvers. To reflect this, the fighter icon rolls two dice instead of just one in attack, but the fighter icon is automatically marked as damaged following such an attack. The icon can be repaired by normal repair rules, and the icon can also be used for a normal attack, of course. So that I like the cards; they're kind of cool. They chose a nice a nice background for it, and the ships themselves are yellow. So you have a nice dark brown background with yellow as the ship color itself. So they look pretty nice. I enjoy. You got the. That is going to be freaking nasty. And of course, this whole where's it? Dun, da, da. Back in the day when you actually had a lot more play by email, this was done by Frank Brooks. Having dogs. Now people aren't that much interested in play by email anymore. So I did see the one a couple players actually doing a game. To me, I'm just gonna mention this because we're running out of time here. Which is just mention about play by email. I think when it comes to play by email, the best play by email games that I played are the ones I played lastly, which are these huge fleet games. Now, the only problem that we had with the large fleet games was, of course, the number of players involved. That produced an issue when it comes to making sure people got their turns in on time. Because Lord knows when it comes to Starfleet Warlord, I have that issue all the time. You have to send out reminders. You have to, okay, you instead of having it, just have them give you the ships. I think, and some of them, I think, when it comes to Starfleet Warlord, it's just that they're used to that is their kind of reminder to get their turns done. And I'm not sure what to do about that. Because in theory, I could actually. Do I need to be sending out reminders before they're due? Because currently I send them out the day they're due and give them a 24-hour grace period. So
Yeah, you
basically,
shouldn't have to. It, if
no.
they want to do it, they can. We're all big, responsible adults, supposedly.
Supposedly. No comment. I was about to say something which I probably will regret.
Yar.
No, it's not about pirates.
You've got cats. Try to herd them. See how that
How
works.
about trying to hurt children?
That's easier.
That's what you think. Oy. Anyhow, I think there's some beautiful cards here, and I think some interesting ideas for cards that we saw. I think my favorite of them all was actually this one, which is the police crackdown, which it doesn't mention it, but as was mentioned in the caps lock number 42 about that one card, which could be used offensive and defensively when it comes to the tribbles. This also can be used offensively and defensively, which I think is a neat card.
What also brings out a mental picture of like all these nasty Orion pirate ships that would any single one of them could eat a police cruiser for lunch. And they're all hiding, yeah,
Right.
from that one guy.
Exactly. Well, huddling in fear.
Yeah, cloaked and away. Yikes, it's the fuzz. Get the battle cruiser out of the way.
Agreed. Yeah, the one here where it's the cloak decoy. I like the idea, but the issue I think is that most cloak ships usually they don't get attacked. They just wait for them to uncloak. But at some point they have to uncloak.
Unless they disengage. And that's the whole point.
Yep. Very true. Very true. I'm not sure, did they ever do this? And one thing was that they mentioned as a thought, it was suggested to have color version of the cards published in Kappa's logs, which are like this, which is beautiful. Because obviously, for Kappa's log number 43, when it comes to what they actually printed and shipped, those weren't color, those were black and white. And so basically, so is the batch in E23. They might do that, or might find a print-on demand card place. They get actual cards in small quantities. We're looking into this option. Actually, I really should talk to Steve Cole about that, which would be interesting to see if, because in my mind, that is a nice project that they could be working on. And the tough part, obviously, is it making is creating, getting all the cards together, you know, and making the graphics and so forth. But at the same time, it's a nice, it's a new project, and I think actually, I know some people like moi, I'd be interested in buying that. You know, the play test cards, and have it so that you actually can print them out and possibly even print them out and actually you cut them. Cut them, as long as, because I've, because I already did. I spent, oh man, I spent so much money. I spent so much money for Merchants of the Federation, that play test game, which I printed out this beautiful map, had it so that it was laminated. That thing cost me quite a bit of money. I think that cost me like $100 to create that map, and I spent it.
Wow.
Yeah, never. I still have it sitting downstairs. But it seemed like the interest for the games waned really quick. Either that, or the manufacturer who originally created it, the creator of it, of the game, to stop answering questions. You know, it's one of those things. But anyhow, with that, I think we'll be wrapping up. Doug, is there anything you want to hawk, mention?
You mean like Gamers of Summer coming up on Labor Day in
Oh,
about
of course
what,
not.
less than 6 weeks?
I was not even thinking of
Oh no, not at all. But yeah, you've got your game in. That's good. Anybody else wants to be out there? Come on out. We're right over there. We're possibly the most convenient convention on the East Coast for anybody who wants to come out and play some SFB of some kind. Or not, you know. But we're there. It's like Harrisburg, PA. It's like crossroads for the East Coast. So, yep. That's basically it. I don't have much else.
Understood. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
If you want to talk after the podcast a little bit about Eve, whatnot, there you go. I'll be right here.
Okay, I think that'd be great. I had to do this, which is put up on the screen the cover for Cabin's Log number 42, because I thought that was kind of cool. Which is these they're fighters, right? Yeah, F101C Voodoo, which are it's a cool little Cabin's Log. Anyhow, had a nice. Obviously, we've got to discuss and show some of the Starfleet Battle Force cards. Might be interested in getting some of the beautiful, beautiful decks of cards that ADB still sells and are still available. So if you want to buy a few decks, I definitely would recommend buying two decks, not just one. One, because of with two decks you can play with more people. And also the great thing about that is that with two decks, if you lose one, you're fine, or if you lose a couple cards, you're still fine. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.